They have imprisoned me here in my hut. There was no chance to try for the hunting mazer. Several of them held me down while they emptied the hut of most of my possessions. They took my clothing, leaving me only one of their rough-woven robes to cover myself with. The longer I sit here, the more angry and anxious I become. They have taken my comm log, imager, discs, chips, everything. I have a single, unopened crate of medical diagnostic equipment left up at the old site, but that cannot help me document the miracle in the cleft. If they destroy the things they have taken, and then destroy me, there will be no record of the basilica. If I had a weapon, I could kill the guards and... Oh, dear God, what am I thinking? Edward, what am I to do? And even if I survive this, make my way back to Keats, arrange travel back to the web, who would believe me? After 9 years' absence from Parchem because of a quantum leap time debt, just an old man returning with the same lies he was exiled for. Oh, dear God, if they destroy the data, let them destroy me as well. Day 110. After 3 days, they have decided my fate. Zed, and the one I think of as Theta Prime, came to get me shortly after midday. I blinked as they led me out into the light. The 80 stood in a wide semicircle near the cliff edge. I fully expected to be thrown over that edge. Then I noticed the bonfire. I had assumed that the Bikura were so primitive that they had lost the art of making and using fire. They did not warm themselves with fire, and their huts were always dark. I had never seen them cook a meal, not even the rare corpse of an arboreal they devoured. But now the fire was burning strongly, and they were the only ones who could have started it. I looked to see what fueled the flames. They were burning my clothes, my comm log, my field notes, the tape cassettes, video chips, data disks, the imager, everything that had held information. I screamed at them, tried to throw myself at the fire, and called them names I had not used since the street days of my childhood. They ignored me. Finally, Alpha came close. "You will become of the cruciform," he said softly. I did not care. They led me back to my hut, where I wept for an hour. There is no guard at the door. A minute ago I stood at the doorway and considered running for the flame forests. Then I thought of a much shorter but no less fatal run to the cleft. I did nothing. The sun will be setting in a short time. Already the winds are rising. Soon. Soon. Day 112. Has it been only 2 days? It has been forever. It did not come off this morning. It did not come off. The med scanner's image wafer is right here in front of me, but I still cannot believe it. And yet I do. I am of the cruciform now. They came for me just before sunset, all of them. I did not struggle as they led me to the edge of the cleft. They were more agile on the vines than I could have imagined. I slowed them down, but they were patient, showing me the easiest footholds, the fastest route. Hyperion's sun had dropped below low clouds and was visible above the rim wall to the west as we walked the final few meters to the basilica. The evening wind song was louder than I had anticipated. It was as if we were caught amid the pipes of a gigantic church organ. The notes rose from bass growls so deep that my bones and teeth resonated in sympathy to high, piercing screams that slid easily into the ultrasonic. Alpha opened the outer doors, and we passed through the antechamber into the central basilica. The 70 made a wide circle around the altar and its tall cross. There was no litany. There was no singing. There was no ceremony. We simply stood there, in silence, as the wind roared through the fluted columns outside and echoed in the great empty room carved into the stone, echoed and resonated and grew in volume until I clapped my hands over my ears. And all the while the streaming, horizontal rays of sunlight filled the hall with deepening hues of amber, gold, lapis, and then amber again, colors so deep that they made the air thick with light and lay like paint against the skin. I watched as the cross caught this light, and held it in each of its 1,000 precious stones, held it, it seemed, even after the sun had set, and the windows had faded to a twilight gray. It was as if the great crucifix had absorbed the light and was radiating it toward us, into us. Then, even the cross was dark, and the winds died, and in the sudden dimness, Alpha said softly, "Bring him along."